So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, I'm Miss H, and today Mr. O and I will be talking about Season 1, Episodes 1 and 2 of Life After Lockup. Today we will be discussing Shane's questionable questions, Angela's bonfire, Marcelino's Microsoft Office skills, Andrea's partial marriage to Lamar, Megan's midlife crisis, and Sarah's manipulating the manipulator skills. As always, we will end the episode with this week's Student of the Week, Class Dunces, and Life Lessons. Next week, we will cover episodes 3 and 4, and the next week, we will be covering the new episodes that air every Friday on WeTV. Please leave us a rating if you get a chance, so other listeners can find our podcast too. Also, if you watch 90 Day Fiancé, check out our other podcast, 90 Day Fiancé NK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. Thanks and enjoy.
Hello, Miss H.
Hello, Mr. O. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't know. I'm kind of spinning after watching this show. So
I am excited for this. So we thought we'd give you a little bit of background on us. So we are two high school teachers that have been friends and known each other for a while. And recently I had got Mr. O into 90 Day Fiancé. So I dragged him along on our podcast adventure. And we started the podcast mostly because we saw that there weren't a lot of podcasts at the time. And so we were trying to kind of fill in the gaps. It was something fun for me. I love talking to my friends about this show. But then all of a sudden, about a month after we started our podcast, all of a sudden, like, the 90 Day Fiancé podcast world just blew up. Everybody was on the scene.
So many.
Yeah, so many podcasts. So then I now had the challenge of, you know, I also am an avid watcher of Love After Lockup. And this is a space where there are really not a whole lot. I mean, one or two podcasts out there. So I told Mr. O, I said, okay, we need to start doing recaps on Love After Lockup. So here we are.
So I'm coming in cold. I had never watched any yes. Love After Lockup episodes before this. So I have no idea what the crap right. is going on with any of this stuff.
No, but he doesn't.
Yeah. Just watching it with big bug eyes, just being like, oh, okay. These are decisions.
I told him it would be a dumpster train wreck for sure.
It's just a flaming dumpster on a crashing train. Yes.
Oh, it exactly. is. Right. As the producers are like dumping like barrels of, you know, lighter fluid on it. Yeah. It's crazy. So one thing I will say about the format of this is we thought it would be unreasonable for Mr. O to go back and watch the, 24 hours of content from before. So Mr. O is just starting from Life After Lockup, and I will be here to fill in the blanks as what has happened into previous seasons. And hopefully I remember, you know, all the things that have happened in the previous seasons. But I'll try filling the blanks as best as I can.
If you don't, we'll make stuff up and it'll be fun. Right. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I could always make stuff up as well. So
I feel like they do it. They've done a decent job showing like the black and white flashbacks to at least kind of get you in the right
yes.
kind of idea of what's going on. So is there anybody in particular you wanted to start off with? You wanted me to see first, or should we just go?
We could just jump right in. I'm going to let you lead. So wherever you want to start.
I'm going to start with the one I have first, which I assume is because they were the first one in the show. And that is
yes.
Lacey, Shane, and John. Okay, so already this is different because I'm like, I would say which couple are we going to start with? But we're not starting with couples because they're not all couples. There's
threesomes.
Yeah, there's triangles here.
Going on.
Right, there's some triangles.
Yep. Okay.
So I was putting it together. They got the Shane, and apparently Shane and John were the ones who were both in prison at some point.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I didn't even keep track of what they were in jail for, so I got nothing on that. Because some of them were like parole violation.
Tough.
It's like, okay, well, yeah, you were on for a parole violation, but why were you on parole?
Yeah, but what was your original crime? Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So Shane's background is that, and it was a little shady even when he was describing it. So if I'm kind of fuzzy on it, it's because he didn't explain it very well. But it sounded like Shane was in prison because he was defending someone who was had hate speech for someone else who I believe was gay. Or racist. I can't remember, but he claims he was trying to defend someone and got into this really bad where he like beat someone blind or something. And so he ended up in jail for that.
Okay. But okay. So there's some kind of doctor. All I got is there to the doctor. And I was like, okay. So we figured out and I pieced together that apparently Shane and Lacey are married.
Yes. They got married at the end of the last season.
Okay. So they're at the doctor. So that she can get a tubal ligation reversal.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently when you just get out of jail and your life is a mess and a wreck and you can't get a job and all this stuff going on, the first thing you want to do is bring a baby into that.
Okay? Oh, goodness.
Because he's like young, too. So he's like 22 or something, right? He's like not.
Right.
He's got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Shane is 22. Lacey is 30. And John, who we don't really see, but he's just mentioned a whole bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
John is, I believe, 30 or 31. He's right in there with Lacey's age. And so the background on them is that Lacey and John had been dating for quite a while, and they were dating even before John had gone into jail. And so then she was mad at John. They were actually engaged. And so she starts something up with Shane just to kind of at first get back at John, because she was just like, well, if you're going to be a jerk, then I'm just going to meet someone else who's also in jail. And then it ends up that she falls for this guy. And at the end of the season, they get married. She did have a bit of a drama where she believed one of the three kids she has is John's, but it ends up that it was not John's. So there is no reason for John to be in the picture at this point, and Shane knows that.
So wait, I thought even her kids are a third unnamed guys? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so also one thing I'd like to point out, which will put some things in context, especially when they start talking about the doctor conversation, is that Lacey is a model. What kind of model do you think Lacey is?
She looks like a cam girl. That's all I could think of. Does that
count
as model?
That is exactly right, Mr. O. She is a cam girl. She is a cam girl. And guess who has been in her videos lately?
I'm guessing Shane now?
Yes, Shane. So, I mean, there you go. I believe that has you all caught up. And I think it puts some of these conversations in context, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why you get the tubal ligations. She has things.
Oh, no. I'm talking about when the doctor asks how often they have sex a day.
Oh, okay. So they do that for, and then she's like, that's how I make money. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they were like, how are you bringing in money? And he's like, oh, by, you know, I'm earning my keep by having sex with my beautiful wife. Okay. Now it makes sense because they're doing that. Because
that is the work.
That has to bring in money.
Right.
Still five. Okay. Still, that's a tough ask 5 or 10 times a day when they get to that part. That was kind of like the obvious, like, oh, geez, thing they wanted you to bring on, but I actually thought the funniest part of the whole doctor appointment was there were two. First of all, when he asked what embryos are.
Oh, gosh.
Because they were talking about doing IVF instead of doing the surgery. And he was like, what exactly are embryos? That cracked me up. And then after he asked what embryos are, he was like, do you have any reading material? It's like, oh, he wants to learn and think about it. And he's like, to help me jack off. Like, oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I had both those things down, too. First of all, it's good for Shane that you don't need to pass a test in order to have kids. It's very good. And then it's like, and then when he was asking about the materials, he was like, oh, they have pictures, right? And it's like, well, what else would it be? They're not going to give you sex toys. Like, what are they going to give you?
I think he was thinking, like, Like, it's going to be like erotic novels. And like, he's just like, this is just words.
He's like, I can't read. Someone help me. I need pictures. I'm going to need pictures with these words.
I would be shocked if that man ever has read a novel at all.
Oh my shocked. Goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then they move on to, all right, so they're moving out of some place and moving into someplace else.
Yes.
Like, was that just a thing, or just like they're just upgrading because they're upgrading?
I think they're upgrading. So, yeah, she was living in the house, and I think he was a little concerned because she had lived in that house at some point with John.
Okay, okay. So she leaves him in charge of all the moving because she pays for everything, so why should she do any work? It's always a good.
Well, he's never moved a day in his life before. He says this is his first time moving.
And he thinks the way you do that is just by drowning tumbler upon tumbler of margarita mix.
I know, right?
So it starts with that. And it's just like a running thing throughout this whole segment is he's just getting more and more drunk on margarita mix.
Yep.
Like just the mix straight out the Cuervo mix out the bottle, just drinking it like it's apple juice. Like, no ice, nothing.
And he's just rambling to the movers about God knows what. And they're just like, oh my God, dude, we're trying to move. Just either help or shut up.
Right, because they bring the movers in. That nothing's clean. Nothing's, like, packed up. Nothing's ready to go. The movers just show up, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's the house. It's like, did you, like, put anything in a box or, like, take it off the floor? Nope, you're the movers, right?
I mean, the movers will do it for you, but they're going to charge you by the hour.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm sure they go into situations like that because me and my friend were both moving at the same time. And I was one of those people where I knew I was paying by the hour. So I did everything that I moved all the furniture by the front door just so they right. didn't have You're to like move it, you know.
And then I had my other friend. This stack of stuff goes in the trunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I had my friend who, and I think it took them about 2.5 hours to move me. And I had probably arguably more stuff than my friend. And then my friend, she moved probably a weekend or two after me. And it took them, I think, 8 hours to move because she was Ooh. Not prepared. Yeah. So they had to put stuff in boxes for her. So, I mean, they'll do it, but they're, heck yeah, they're going to charge you by the hour.
So we get the moving and they move. And then, so that's when Lacey starts getting like these weird manipulative texts from John.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just doing that classic abuser thing of
right.
just being like, oh, I think I might do something to myself. Oh, I don't know. And then like ignoring all her messages just to make her feel bad. So that was just gross.
I just feel that the way Lacey has treated John in the past, and so that means, like, even she was lying to both of them for some time. And mm-hmm. then she tells John, and I thought John was very mature about, you know, leaving the relationship. He originally was going to parole to Lacey's house, and as soon as she told him, he's like, well, I'm going to go back to my parole officer and change, like, the address. And I think she wanted more of a reaction out of him. And so she, mm-hmm. at some point, like, hit him. And so, I mean, I feel like, you know, Lacey has not been the best to John. And just saying by what's on the show. So,
right.
You know.
I can hear that.
There's a lot of things, I'm sure. I mean, obviously, John's not the best person if he has been multiple times in jail. So he definitely has a side that we are not currently seeing.
Right.
But, you know. Right.
Well, from what Lacey says in this episode, at least, she thinks that that side is just the addict side. He's just an addict. And everything he's been jailed for has just been from his addiction. But,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of stuff. And eventually, so I guess eventually Shane sees her text messages, which mm-hmm. is a way bigger theme in this show than it is in 90 Day Fiancé. Like, I saw text messages. It happens all the time. Sure. That's just
right,
a constant.
Right.
I feel like production like takes their phones and like leaves it over here. Like, boop. Just stay right there. And it wasn't even text messages with John. It was text messages to somebody else, you know, that she was talking about, being worried about John. And then, you know, Shane gets all mad and starts screaming because he's also like shit-faced right now. He's totally drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah. But that led
to... But I think it's one of those things where if he knows that she was engaged to someone when they were dating. I mean, this is kind of like our 90 Day Fiancé Just Landed episode that we just did with Cole and Maria. If she knows that she, or if he knows that he's in that situation, the trust isn't going to be there. So he already doesn't trust her because of how they ended up together, how their relationship started out.
Right. And it's just, oh, but then it led to another funny Shane thing, which wasn't funny at the time, but it was funny because he was just like, he doesn't understand the definition of jealousy.
Oh, goodness.
He says, it's not jealousy. That's when you want something that you don't have. It's like, no, that's envy. He's like, I'm just afraid I'm going to lose you. That's being territorial. It's like, no, that's jealousy. Like, stop.
Oh, goodness. Just, what is he going to pee on her? My God.
Like, that's what jealousy is. The dragon jealously guards his gold because he has the gold and is afraid someone's going to take it.
Shane is not a smart man. He just isn't.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, it's one thing to not know the definition of jealousy. It's another thing to adamantly say it's not jealousy. It's, and then describe jealousy.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was like worried, like, oh, it depends on where your neighborhood is. Like, man, in my neighborhood, you can get the police called on you on move-in day if you're screaming like that and yelling out like that and throwing glasses at the refrigerator. Like, oh, somebody's calling the police.
So one of the kids is upset about the move. And I thought it was sweet that Shane was trying to console the kid. It shows that maybe he's somewhat ready for fatherhood. But I mean, not like baby fatherhood. I wouldn't trust him with a baby still.
No, but the hardest part about fatherhood, he's not ready. Like, he clearly can't be on all the time. Like, he can have his moments where he's on and his moments where he's good. But that's not good enough. You have to always be on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I question his ability to be a dad, for sure. Because once again, he's not a smart man. One thing that Lacey did say that I thought was very fair and true is she said that she didn't think it's fair for John to put basically his well-being on her.
Yeah, right.
I think that was really fair. One of the smarter things Lacey has ever said, too. What did you think of her dad?
He seemed like, I mean, we didn't see him for very long, but he seemed like way too normal to have that daughter.
Yeah, right?
It's like,
he
how
really
did that,
is.
Oh, I feel bad for him. Like, I'm sure he tried.
Right.
Just didn't hit the mark.
Yeah, he gives good advice, too, because the advice he gave Lacey was that she should try to make a marriage out of the wedding, which I was like, that's like a smart thing to say. Good job, Dad. And then he also thinks that Lacey should be upfront with Shane about the text.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Your short-term, long-term thinking. If you're just hiding him, I'm not saying he's going to find out about him, but it's going to be way worse if he finds out about it than if you were just way upfront being like, oh, wow, he texted me and I'm really actually kind of worried about him. Like, he's not going to be happy about that, but it's going to be better. Especially because if she'd have told him the first time she got the text, he'd have been more sober.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe he would have been more drunk.
I don't know. He was drinking all day.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. All right.
All right. Next. I got nothing else for them right now.
Okay.
Let's go to, who was this? Oh, okay. I know. I remember. It took me a while. Angela and Tony.
Oh, goodness.
Taking me a second to realize who was who. I was like, wait a second. I don't remember them. And I started reading it. I was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So a little bit of background about them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because I feel like this is a couple. You need the background. And there is background. With Lacey, John, and Shane, I kind of feel like the background's kind of obvious. You know, like we've heard that story a bunch of times. You know, there was another guy. You know, she ends up with that guy. Pretty basic storyline.
Yeah, this one was just like it started with her burning all his letters. Like, it reminded me of like Hamilton. Like, I'm like, what's going on? Okay. Like, there's something here.
Angela and Tony, they actually started off in the very first season. And they made it through the entire season without ever meeting. And the reason why is because Tony was supposed to get out and he ended up never getting out. So you just see Angela, like, basically by herself the entire season. Then they brought on the couple again for the second season, and Tony finally gets out. So there is a big age gap in between them. They met through a prison pen pal situation. And I would say that almost immediately, Tony is shady. He is, you know, hooking up with some girl or some coworker of his at a motel. And at towards the end of the season, Angela finds out about it and she breaks up with him. And so kind of the last thing you see is Tony saying, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. I just got to smooth things over with Angela. It'll be fine. But you can tell that he definitely feels like he's got Angela under his thumb. Like he, you know, thinks that he's such a smooth talker with her. He can get away with anything. It doesn't even matter what he does. Mm-hmm. So that's okay. The background on them. But then they end up back together again.
Uh-huh. And apparently yeah. He's still on the shady yep. stuff because,
yep.
and this is what, so she wants to get into his phone because he's been suspiciously talking on his phone way too much and she can't get on his phone. So she takes out his SIM card and puts it in her phone.
That's actually pretty smart.
It is really smart.
Yeah.
Now, but of course you have to get past the red flag thing of it's like, if I feel like I need to take the SIM card out of their phone.
Sure.
At this point.
Yep.
We've already crossed.
Right. There's something wrong with my relationship. But I feel like she already knows there's something wrong. I think she knows there's something wrong with her relationship. And I don't know why she is that into him. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So she finds it and she looks at the SIM card and all kinds of trashy stuff on the SIM card. Like apparently, I guess he works at a motel.
Yes. He works at a motel.
He works in a motel and some of the some of the hookers that want to use the hotel have been basically trading their wares with him for free rooms so they don't have to spend any money.
Their wares being sexual favors and threesomes.
That is their wares.
Yep.
A threesome is also a sexual favor.
It all fits under there.
Yeah, it's all there. So that's what she found out on the phone, and then she just like started burning his things. I don't know why the burning of the things had to happen.
It started off with just the letters. So she was burning just the letters at the beginning. Because she hasn't confronted Tony yet.
Right. She's like, I let him go to work. And she's just sitting at home watching these letters burn.
Yeah.
Smoking cigarette after cigarette, draining Red Bulls. Just.
Oh, yeah.
Stewing. Ready for it to happen.
Yep.
Which is funny because then Tony just comes in and immediately is like, okay, so this whole thing from here on out seemed really, really scripted to me.
Okay. Possibly. It's the same production company as 90 Day Fiancé. So it probably is.
Very script. Like bad acting. I'm reading my lines. Maybe we should go.
Oh, yeah. He's an awful actor. Yeah.
Right? Because that's the first thing he does, awful acting-wise, is like, where's my hug? I'm like, oh my God. What are you doing? Oh. Then she flips off, and I don't think I couldn't get. I know she's kind of older. How old is she?
Yes.
I don't think she's that old. She looks older than her real age, I think.
She's in her late 40s, I want to say.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In her late 40s. And. Yeah. She doesn't look like she's in her late 40s.
But she's got the case of like Angela Michael. She's a chain smoker. So, you know, it's going to age you.
It does. It does. Because the other thing that old people do that makes her look older than she is all the texts in her phone are like 150 point font.
Oh, right.
Three words on the whole screen as she's scrolling through the messages.
Right.
It's like, oh, geez.
It can fit like three words across the screen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So she confronts him and he is just like, that's not a thing. They're wrong. That's not what you think it is. And I don't know. It seems like unlike what he had, as you just told me, what he had imagined, he's not selling her on it. Like she's done. No. She's like, we're done. We're broken up. I'm not listening to you. You're lying. Everything you say is a lie. At some point, she even calls one of the hookers during an argument. It's like, can he come stay with you?
Good old Brandy. Yep.
Good old Brandy took it like in stride. She was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, that's sure. Fine. Well, come on over. You got a place to stay. Yeah, I agree that Tony's acting was very hollow. Like, she's telling him to get out, and he's just staring at her blankly, like, what's my line? Am I supposed to say something? He just, like, the dumbest stare when he was, like, you know, she was saying, you know, get out of my house. I don't want you here. And then she starts to kind of get up in his face, and he's just like,
no,
don't touch me.
Don't touch me.
Yeah. And she's either a really good actress or she was like really emotional about it because she did this like, okay. And she like poked him in the front, like barely.
Yeah.
And then she was like, what are you going to do about it? And then he's just like, don't touch me. It's like, well, then leave already. She's asked you like 5 times.
Right. And then, yeah, he just rolls his eyes and whatever. Okay. So this is when it starts to come up that and this is a new thing for me. I know it's not a new thing for the show, but the idea of being like paroled to an address and you have to stay at that address.
So it's not that you have to stay at that. You have to be there at night. So there's like certain hours of the day, like mostly at night, probably like whatever your curfew is. Like, let's say it's 10 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning. And it's so that if your parole officer randomly shows up at where the house you've paroled to, that you are available. Mm-hmm. And so they know you're not out doing devious things. And so if he's not there, then they'll put a warrant out for his arrest because he's basically broken his parole situation.
The terms of his parole.
So, yes. And so then he could potentially go back to jail. So that's the reason why he's concerned about it, is because if she's locking him out of the house, unless he's sitting, you know, right in front of the house, you know, like, he's going to get in trouble if his parole officer happens to show up.
Okay. So could she call like the parole officer and be like, yeah, I kicked
him out?
No. Like,
I don't think she could. She may, you know.
But I'm not saying not necessarily to get him in trouble. Not to get him in trouble, to be like, oh, by the way, he's not here. Not to snitch on him. I mean, but to be like, yeah, for future reference, he is not living at this house.
Oh, he could absolutely change it. It's not set in stone. In fact, with the whole Lacey, Shane, and John thing, as soon as Lacey told him, you know, that Shane existed, John turned around, went to his parole officer, and changed his address. So he could change his address at any time.
Okay.
So that's not a legitimate excuse.
He could have left on his motorcycle and went to his parole officer.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Been like, listen. Okay.
But he has to have a place. And I don't think that, you know, saying a hotel it wouldn't be an acceptable place. Yeah. So he has to have like an actual address.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think shacking up with prostitutes is an option either. Because
whoever it
is can't have any criminal record, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. All right. So then Angela's sister comes by for a chat.
Donna Faye.
What's her name now?
Donna Faye.
Donna Faye. Donna Faye comes by. They just have a little chat. And apparently Angela and Tony were engaged and nobody knew that.
Yeah, which is weird because, you know, I just kind of assume this is like 90 Day Fiancé where everybody's engaged. And so I feel like it's just common knowledge that everybody is either officially engaged or at least talked about getting married. I don't think any couple is just, like, trying to be together just to, like, be boyfriend-girlfriend, so,
yeah. Yeah, but they just, I don't know, kind of a thing, and she's, like, love is overrated.
Something
from that conversation. That one thing I wrote, it wasn't.
Yeah, she was actually smart. She says that, Angela, how can you be so educated and so dumb? And it is funny that she says that. Angela has a master's degree.
Yeah, isn't her master's degree in, like, it said her job was, like, a mental health therapist or something like that.
Yes,
like,
she
holy
is.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's, like, a smart lady. And it's like, wow, you're right. She is making some dumb decisions. One, being on this show.
She's not the only. We'll get to later. What's his face? Marcelino also has a master's degree and is pretty dumb.
Yeah. Well, I have thoughts about his master's degree specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I will say about Angela and Tony is that, you know, Angela, you kind of think about her like similar situation as a lot of these 90 Day Fiancé couples, where you're kind of like, she's an older lady. She's trying to get in with like a younger man because she feels like she doesn't have as many options, mm-hmm. you know, but she has a friend who, his name is escaping me, but for some reason I want to say his name is Joe. And I think they showed a clip of him in one of their flashback clips. He pretty much looks like a skinnier Jerry Springer. I don't know if you saw that guy.
Okay.
That guy actually proposed to Angela. Like, he wants to be with her. And he is like one of her best friends, and he is there for her. Like, when she was rolling around town trying to find Tony when his parole officer was looking for him, and Angela was like, oh crap, the parole officer's looking for you. I need to find him so he doesn't go back to jail. Uh-huh. Who went with her? Good old Jerry Springer lookalike, who is like secretly in, but not so secretly, in love with Angela. So it's like, she has options. I don't understand why she's so hung up on Tony. Yeah. It makes no sense to me.
She's not into friend zone Jerry. That's what happened.
No. Yeah. Whose real name? We don't know, but whatever. Yeah.
He's friend zone Jerry from now on. We're done with that. His friend zone Jerry.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
So then she just starts burning all of his crap, which I'm like,
yes.
Like, couldn't you, like, take it to, like, Goodwill or something? Why are you just burning it in your backyard?
It's like, symbolic. It seems like it would smell.
Oh,
it would
be terrible smell. Like, she burned Chucks.
Right? Because she's burning shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rubber in that. Oh, God, that's got to smell.
It just gets you, like, all kinds of fucked up. But not the good kind of fucked up. Like, yeah. Just fumes. Ugh. No. Right?
Yeah.
So while she's burning his stuff, and again, he just comes back and isn't like mad about it. He's like, And they have something that sounds like it's out of a terrible
Wait,
movie.
Is that my stuff?
Is that my stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking with the wrong head. Like, stop, man.
Oh, God.
Everything was just so rehearsed in this part. I couldn't get over it. I didn't even write down what they said after that because I was just like, it's all so fake. Like, why can't stay in our house? It's not our house anymore. It's my house. Like, just stop.
You do a good Angela. You got that smoker's voice down, at least for a woman.
I can't get deep enough to do a man smoker. Doesn't work.
No. He still thinks there's a chance. They just need to work on it. And he keeps on talking about it like that.
Work on it. He just wants to work her. So.
Yeah, as much as you want Angela to be the better person in this, like, you already know they're going to be back together in the next episode. It's like, I don't even need to see the next episode to know where that's going.
Yeah, she doesn't know how to quit him.
No. Oh. And like I said, he is like no prize. I mean, okay, so I think they showed pictures of him, you know, the pictures that he had on the prison pen pal website. Mm-hmm. And so he used to be a lot slimmer and actually cut.
Okay.
And so I wouldn't say he was necessarily my type, but he was definitely much better looking. And then he comes rolling out of prison, like, all doughy and dumbfounded. So yeah. I wonder
if the prison, because you always think people work out in prison. I wonder if they just, like, work out until they get a couple pen pals, and then you're just like, I'm done. Bored of that.
I do have to say, I had an old neighbor / friend who was in prison for probably a year and a half, and he was like partying hard, like drinking, you know, so he was like kind of overweight when he went
in. Yeah,
he got out of prison and he was cut. Like, he just worked out all the time, and it took him about, like, I think another year for him to, like, gain it back and, like, look the same. But I was just like, oh my God.
Not just the amount of time you work out, but, like, the amount of food you get. You don't get as much food. You can't just, like, randomly snack all day. Like,
snack whenever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get some Uber Eats.
Right. All right. So, since we mentioned him, let's go next to Brittany and Marcelino.
Okay.
So this is the first couple we've seen where the woman was the one that was in prison.
Right. So Brittany's kind of had a hard life. So she's 29. She was in jail kind of like in and out a couple times, like since she was 18, mostly for burglary stuff and kind of being involved in the wrong group. So her storyline really centered around her female relationships when she got out. So she definitely would identify as being bisexual. And one of her previous bunkies was like her girlfriend, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then just trying to build relationships with or maintain relationships with her old bunkies or prison friends and stuff. And then on the opposite side of that, Marcelino trying to keep her away from all the prison friends because he basically doesn't want her.
Oh, prison friends get you back into prison. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so that was really their drama. Yeah.
Okay, so they're
not too much more than that.
We open with an ultrasound. So that's something already.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to mention. So they did get married on their season, and then I think she might have been pregnant during the wedding, but it was like one of those things where she probably didn't know she was pregnant, or if she did, she had just found out.
Right.
So
it wasn't like a shotgun situation. They had already planned the wedding and okay.
No.
All right. But I mean,
yeah.
She mentioned it's okay. So that's what my question about is, she said it was her fifth pregnancy, right?
Oh gosh. Yes.
And so,
yeah.
But then some of those kids have been, so how, what kids does she have? And like, how many kids does she not have?
Okay. So she had a boy and a girl. And so she had those when she was like, I think 15 was her first child, like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And so the first two kids were up for adoption. So she doesn't have them anymore. Then her third child.
Like not taken from her. They
they're adopted. So she doesn't, she has no idea where they are. Yeah. She went through like an adoption agency. So she has no idea where
really?
The first two
That's
are.
Crazy.
Then she has.
Well, because I usually, you know, newer adoptions, because that would have been, you know, after 2000, that the newer trend is to actually stay in contact with the birth mother.
Right. And I think this is probably about 15 years ago. So her kids are about 15
yeah,
now.
Yeah. Maybe that might have been the transition stage.
Yeah, I think even in these episodes, the first two episodes, she made just a slight mention about that she wants to try find them. Mm-hmm. So she said something about that. It might have been in one of those like in between commercials. Sometimes they do like a really short clip.
Okay.
Like in between commercials. So it might have been in one of those. But then her third child is Giovanni, who she had with her ex Tito, who looks like a UFC fighter. So he was in a couple of the seasons. So
they kept showing the flashback of a fight. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes.
He's like, you ain't raised my son. Okay, that guy. I'm with it.
Right. Tito's an interesting character because they had Giovanni, and then Brittany went to jail almost immediately after. So Tito had primary custody of Giovanni. And when you first met Tito, things were really, really different. He looked healthy, he had a partner, and he had full custody of Gio. And so then it became a thing where Brittany was kind of like fighting for custody for Gio, but just visitation mostly at this point. She wasn't trying to fight for full custody or anything. Somewhere in between, they had like a season 2A and a 2B. So there was almost like this hiatus between the first half of the season and the second half of the season. In between that time, Tito apparently just like fell off the wagon, started getting to drugs. And so you could see he's like skinny. You saw him in the fight. Mm-hmm. He did not look like that when you first saw him in the first part of season 2A. So he got really skinny. It's very much implied that he's on drugs. And so his partner's nowhere to be seen. And so then he's been really flaky with Giovanni, where he would just leave him with Brittany and Marcelino and just like be gone for periods of time. And Brittany never complained about it because she was just like, oh good, we get him.
I was fighting for visitation and now I have a kid. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So he had been living with them for like months, and then that's when that whole custody battle happened. Okay. And then in the meantime, they had a girl, Zuela, and that's her daughter with Marcelino.
Okay. All right. And so she started dating or in a relationship with Marcelino while she was in prison?
In prison, yes.
Okay. So
yeah.
She got pregnant, even though they were apparently using some sort of birth control.
Yes. Sounded like an IUD.
I couldn't tell if it was an IUD or it's actually super dangerous to get pregnant with an IUD. Like that's That's an actual situation, because I was also wondering if it was the...
Actually, she said implant.
It might have been the implant.
Yeah, the thing that you put in your arm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It could have been that. Which, I don't know. Like, I know people have to do things similar to that. Like, if you're...
It sounds gross, right? To, like, just put something under
your
skin.
Yeah, I just the thought of putting something underneath my skin. Ooh, it just creeps me out. I'm sure you deal with it if you have to medically, but the thought of it is just like, ugh.
It's way down on your list of options.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah, yeah. I'd rather have the patch, which I heard gets really gross.
Yeah, it stays on for like a month, right? You keep it the same patch on?
Yeah, it's gross. It's like wearing a Band-Aid for a month. Like, it's got to get gross around the edges, you know, like a Band-Aid does. Meh.
But anyway, so we got the kids, and okay, yeah, they tell Giovanni about his new sibling. He seems really excited. That was all nice. That was nice. It seemed like, oh, this looks like it could be a normal family.
Gio's such a cute kid.
But then came the part.
Did you see the little scene? Did you see the little scene about them talking about Zuela? And apparently Brittany didn't get to name the daughter.
And I was like, Zuela?
That was funny.
I would want to have control next time if you went with Zuela, but okay. That's not my first choice of name.
Apparently Marcelino, decided that name while Brittany was passed out. And she, I'm sure she's fine with it, but that was not her first choice.
So they're in Vegas, right? So they're in Nevada?
Yes,
because I think
in Vegas.
Different states have different rules. Like, I think some states it's like, no, the mother will sign this. Like, write in whatever you want, but it's not official until the mother signs it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, interesting. I would wonder what Nevada's laws are. They seem a little loosey-goosey about some things over there.
It's Nevada, yeah. That's the reason. But they're in Nevada because this is the part where it starts to go backwards on me a little bit. They're not as bad as, like, anybody else. But he's a professional poker player?
Yeah, I think that's kind of questionable because I think someone on Reddit actually posted, like, the World Poker stands or whatever, and it has like everybody's like total tournament winnings,
right?
And he has won less than, I want to say, $5,000.
Oh, wow!
So, I'm not questioning his poker playing, but he's not a professional poker player. Mm-hmm. Is he someone that takes his own money and gambles with it and is decent and, you know, makes money at the casinos just like him? Yeah, that's probably what he's doing at this point. But in terms of like being officially sponsored and registered and
playing in tournaments and stuff, no, he just
It doesn't seem like that's
goes and takes some tourists' money and then comes home. Okay, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right. So and then they because then she was like, poker player, it's not a solid income. It's not consistent. It's not reliable. You're gonna have to get a real job.
True.
And then. Then he started pissing me off because I couldn't handle like any of his excuses. Because one thing he said was, he's like, I'm not going to go to work. I'm 41 years old. I'm not going to go taking orders from some 20-year-old sot nose. It's like, yeah, you are. That's what you're going to do. That's everybody's got to suck it up at some point, buddy. Like, you can't just get your choice of jobs.
I know, right?
Everybody. And this is, okay, we're both teachers. So I have to take crap from a lot of 16-year-old snot noses. So I'm not feeling
oh,
this
sure.
guy. Being like, oh, no, there's a 21-year-old who's not going to tell me what to do. Like, yeah, they are, because that's where you are in life.
At the same time, they're not your boss.
They're not your boss. And, like, the idea, well, first of all, he just dismisses the idea that someone younger than him could have more skills or more education and more experience at this point because he hasn't worked in however long, as we kind of learn later. But like, whether it's your boss or not, man, you're not too good for that. Nobody's too good for that. You can take a job.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Especially because to fight for Giovanni, it sounds like they owe about $30,000 for the lawyer bill.
Yeah.
So they need money.
Yeah. If I'm trying to provide for a kid, just suck it up.
The thing that pissed me off about that was Marcelino says, well, that's your bill. And then Brittany comes back and says, well, you didn't have to fight my ex, because you just made things worse.
That made
worse.
The legal fees more, right? that increased it.
Yeah.
$30,000.
Because maybe Tito would have just signed it over without a fight. Mm-hmm. But definitely that was kind of a source of drama, was because Brittany told Marcelino specifically, don't talk to Tito. I will work it out. we have a relationship, like, I'll smooth things over. Uh-huh. What does Marcelino do? He comes screeching in with the minivan, does this crazy, like, swerve, like, right into Tito's driveway, uh-huh. like, starts a fight with him, and it's just like, oh my gosh. So Brittany was mad because she's like, you did the thing I told you not to do, and the thing that I feared would happen happened.
That's actually not, yeah. I just did my own calculation. That's like $30,000. Lawyer fees are crazy because that's only like $100 hours.
Right?
That's it. Like, and that in a really complicated case like that, yeah, I could definitely see 100 hours. So to get the job, Marcelino goes to this recruiter and he thought he could do pretty well because he has formal education and street education.
Yep, that's worth a lot.
Oh, yeah. There's a real heavy premium on street education.
Yeah. Nowhere in his formal education, though, was there time or space for office.
To learn office.
He doesn't have office.
Like, he's like, what are your office skills? He's like, I could just take a seminar on it. It's like, dude, how did you get a master's degree and never use Excel? Like, how did that happen? Or Word.
Yeah, or Word. PowerPoint?
Yeah, like this dude.
How have you never made a presentation? And especially his master's was in public administration.
Yeah, isn't that, my understanding is that they basically live on PowerPoint. Like, that's it.
I don't know. That's what I question. Like, where on earth did he get his master's? Because, you know, and not to hate on online institutions, but I definitely feel like it's a different kind of education than an in-person, but I think it's fairly okay. I won't even say it's online, but there are definitely pay for degrees out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it doesn't require a whole lot to get into a program. As long as you front the money, you can do a pay for degree.
Yeah. My master's degree was an online one, and it was, I wouldn't quite say a joke, but it was just on this side. It was so much more easier than my undergrad degree. It was like just...
Okay. Well, I will say this. So I actually have two masters. One of my masters was 100% in person, and my other master's was an online, like, hybrid, where most of my classes were online, and I think I had to take two or three classes that were in person. Mm-hmm. And I would say my online classes versus my in-person classes were a lot easier than my in-person classes. So that's why I say I think it's just a different standard because of, like, what you can assess. Online versus in person, what kinds of discussions you can have, what kind of projects you can kind of demand given, you know, meeting space.
Right.
But that's why I don't want to, like, hate on online. I want to say, I'll change it and say, like, there are pay for degrees out there that have lower standards where as long as you're willing to front and pay the money, you can get a degree.
That's true. That's true. But so he sets his salary floor at he thinks he should be making 60 to 70,000 at a floor, and it wouldn't be worth working if you made less than that.
Yeah.
He seems a little out of touch.
They asked him what his skill set was. Yeah, his skill set is time management because he's a dad.
Oh my God, okay. That's the worst answer you could possibly have come up with.
I know.
I'm a dad too, except I'm a dad with a full time job, so my time management is better. The recruiter said he has an overinflated value of himself, which seems...
That was... Yes. I was like, that's a kind of nice way of saying it. Objective way of saying
it. I'm sure he sees all kinds. Yeah. I'm sure he does.
Yeah. So I just feel like Brittany here is being reasonable in requesting this of Marcelino.
Uh-huh.
She argues that the reason why she's not doing it, going out looking for a job, is because it's very difficult for her as a former felon to get a job. Mm-hmm. And so she's kind of depending on him. But at the same time, she's not sitting at home doing nothing. She's taking care of the kids.
Right.
And it also looked like she was being a student. They said, you know, like in the title cards, like she was a student. And mm-hmm. it sounded like she was going back to school because she did talk about, you know, she wasn't going to cry about not getting a high school degree. So it looks like she's working on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's, because too, also, like, the cost of daycare, if soon they're going to have three kids, like that is the $60,000 to $70,000 before it's worth going out to work to pay for daycare for three kids.
Yeah.
All right.
Gio's going to be in school soon, so it'll be a little less, but a little more, you
know? Right, 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 right. No, school is the best. Oh, my kids got into school. That was so awesome.
Yeah, right.
Oh.
I know. My friend told me, she's like, it was like a mortgage payment.
It was.
She's like, well, my oldest.
I've always done the math, and because, you know, I'm in Maryland, I've always done that math, is the amount of money that I was spending on daycare when they were, you know, 3-4 years old was more than tuition at University of Maryland. Not room and board and everything, but
that's
the tuition.
Ridiculous.
I was like, I could send these kids to college for cheaper. Ridiculous. And nobody's given out. Nobody's out on the campaign trail being like, we should forgive childcare debt. Yeah, we need everybody. Nobody should have to pay for childcare.
We could get scholarships, daycare scholarships.
Nobody says any of that. All right. So next up, because I know who I wanted to say for last. Let's talk about Andrea and Lamar. And it was right. It was Andrea.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, gosh. Yes, Andrea.
Okay. So.
So Andrea is 40.
Okay.
She's a realtor assistant. And then we have Lamar, who is trying to be a recording artist. Mm-hmm. He's 43. And he's actually been in prison since he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like a for lifer.
Yeah. Well, he said he'd been in the system because he was in the foster care system like before that.
Yes.
Since he was 5. So that was a thing.
Yeah.
But at first we just see. Yeah. We're just with Andrea in Salt Lake City. So it appears that that's a big point of tension is where are they going to live?
Yeah, let me give you a little background on all that. So Lamar was actually in prison in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And so Andrea was living in – or Andrea. Andrea?
I thought Lamar said – I thought Lamar said Andrea, but I also know that there's some people who refuse to say Andrea. Like, I don't know why.
Okay. I think it's Andrea. Yeah. So Andrea was living in Salt Lake City with her 3 kids. And as soon as Lamar was paroled, he had to be paroled in California. So he can't leave California. So Andrea takes her kids and moves to LA. And the 2 older kids, Tennyson and Nyla, are like really unhappy about this move. They hate it because, I mean, they're in high school. They want to be with their friends. Like,
right.
This is not cool. Like, we're in the middle of high school and you're moving us. Mm-hmm. So they're unhappy about it. So they do that for a little while. And then it gets to a point where Lamar can move to Utah he's not like off of parole officially, but, you know, there's a certain point where you're allowed to like leave the state or something.
Uh-huh.
So Andrea like pretty much almost tricks him. They go to Utah for a visit, he thinks. And she pretty much steals his driver's license, his phone, and I don't think he has a passport, but she steals everything that he pretty much needs and tries to hold him hostage and refuses to give it back. She basically went crazy. And so then he was like, "What the hell?" And so he just gets all his stuff at some point and then he just leaves. And so this is where we start off because he has left her in Salt Lake City because she never wanted to live in LA, only did it because he had to, thinking that as soon as he didn't have to live in LA, that they would move back to Utah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was separate. And the first episode, we just see Andrea and she's at somebody's Sippency? Is that what she said? Like sip tea and see the baby?
Oh.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Like, it was really hard. She said it really fast. And I was like, oh, okay. I got it. Okay. So I had not many questions. Another really big question came up. So.
Yes.
She reveals to her friends her big secret, which was that.
Yeah.
Her 5-year-old child was actually
Priscilla
is Lamar's child and was conceived in a prison closet.
Yeah.
Because they actually weren't allowed
to
have conjugal visits because they weren't married at the time. Right?
Right.
I'm following along so far?
Okay. I call shenanigans.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
Okay. So I had a question first. Who does everybody think Priscilla's dad is?
I think she was married to Tennyson and Nyla's dad. And then I think the timeline is a little fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the timeline is that she got divorced a couple years before Priscilla.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people just may have assumed
that they like backslid. They had like a...
Right, or something. Yeah. Okay, because, and this is why I call shenanigans, there's, and I'm not saying that he's not her, Priscilla's dad, but I'm just saying there's some like weird stuff that's happening. Okay, so on the first season that they were on, as soon as Lamar was released, they're not married. So she is like very weird, like, oh, I must be virtuous, because she was saying that she was Mormon. And so she couldn't possibly sleep with this man if they weren't married. And so it's like, uh-huh, you're not, you weren't married when you were visiting him before, having sex in the broom closet, right, or whatever, the prison closet, getting knocked up. But, oh, we're on TV now.
They had to, like, not only do that, they had to bribe a guard, because somebody was in charge of watching them.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, uh-huh, there's some sketchy parts to your story there. Like, either you were lying to the cameras during season one, which I'm not saying that that's not possible, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, like, you're lying about this now to the cameras about Priscilla being Lamar's daughter.
Although, out of context, that idea, who was just like, with her talking head, where she was just like, yes, my daughter Priscilla was conceived in a prison closet. It's very much take that out of context and put it somewhere. It's like, okay.
That was so ridiculous. Yes. Her friends were just kind of like, oh. Uh-huh. Except for her one other black friend was like, hold up, what?
Tell me now.
Yeah, that's her only other black friend in Utah, which is also a reason why Lamar does not like Utah, is because he's just like, we are literally the only black people here. And even her Mormon friends.
Yeah, which Andrea seems to be like, okay, that's my whole life has been like that. Why? I don't, who gives a shit? I don't care. Like,
no, actually, I think they don't highlight it too much on the show, but she didn't always live in Utah.
Okay.
She didn't always live amongst Mormon white women. But I think even at her bridal shower, one of her really terrible friends said something about, you know, oh, I've always wanted a black friend. So, you know, having Andrea as a friend was like, you know,
yeah, that's
meets
like a,
my need.
That's very like, much, oh, that's always like, oh, I wanted a black friend. Now I could be as racist as I want to be and say I have a black friend. That's perfect.
Gosh. Like, yeah. But Andrea, she just wants to be a Mormon mom making jam. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. So then eventually we do see Lamar, who... It's funny because he's just off parole and he mentions this first time out of the system, and he's talking to his brother, Dulo. Is Dulo his brother or his friend? I couldn't tell.
Yes, if he was like, I think so.
Okay. But anyway, Dulo is recovering from getting shot 7 times, which is, Lamar admits, not making a good case for moving to LA.
No, absolutely not. So crazy.
Right. So he's going to go visit. And I mentioned this in another podcast. Did you see what she was in his contacts?
Oh, a queen.
Queen.
I did notice on this one. Yes.
Queen.
Which we can talk about because that comes up with another couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. He just wants to visit. He wants to visit his wife.
Yeah, because he misses their fighting and her craziness. And I was like, why are those the things that you miss? That's terrible.
Because of making up for the fighting is what I think is what he really misses. The part where they make up.
Oh my gosh. I was thinking he just likes chaos, which then if you like fighting and craziness, why don't you stay in LA and risk getting shot 7 times like your brother? Because that seems like your thing.
At 3 a.m. in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yep.
All right. So he wants to go visit. And then we kind of flip back and forth. And we flip back to now Andrea's getting ready. And this is when we meet. This is when we first see... like her kids, and Tennyson's my favorite person. I love Tennyson so much.
Yes, he's so great. Yeah.
I just don't know. It seems like out of all that chaos, where did he come from? He just is so snarky and calls her out on exactly everything in exactly the right way. Like she's like, hey, Tennyson, can he sleep in your room? And he was like, aren't you married? Why is he sleeping in my room?
Then she says partially married. And I was like, what does that even mean? What do you mean partially married?
It's an all or nothing
situation.
Just
made up your own status.
Right.
Yeah. Separated is a different status, but, you know.
Right. She could have said that. Yeah. So, and they pick up.
He says that she's in a teenagery mood.
Right. Yeah. He just is at the airport. I love Tennyson so much. He's just like, dude, Mom. Yeah. Mom, really? Mom. Mom, you're acting like a teenager.
Yeah.
Mom, stop.
Right. But he brought up a good point because it's like she wants to act all mad at him, but then she's doing all these things to show him that she cares.
Right. It's not. Yeah. It's
so he definitely picked up on that.
It is not a move to do the separated, estranged husband that you're mad at to pick them up at the airport with homemade signs. Like, that's not a move.
Right. But then make him sleep on the couch.
But then make him sleep on the couch.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-oh. And then tell him that you have a boyfriend you're trying to hide.
Yeah, I mean, that was clearly trying to be like, ha ha, I don't know. That one didn't seem to be like she was actually saying she had a boyfriend she had to hide. It was like that flirty, like, ha ha, wouldn't it be funny if I had a boyfriend that I was hiding, right?
Mm-hmm. she was already being negative before anything happened, you know? She was saying, oh, you know, I can't believe he didn't get on his flight. And it's like, well, do you know he got on his flight? Why are you even saying this?
Right. I mean, it's not a very... That's a short flight, right? I've imagined you've made that flight. It's not super long, right?
I think it's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
That's what I would guess. That's what I would guess. I don't know, though. I was a little not disappointed, but he got off with... There was no carry-on when he came down those stairs. It meant that he checked a bag to go from L.A. to Utah for like a weekend. Can't abide by that.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, the way he rolled on out of there, you know, in the last episode, it's possible his stuff is still in Utah, like at the house. Yeah, because like he peeled on out of there like, get me the hell out of Utah. You're going to steal my crap. Like, I'm going back to L.A. I don't care what you say.
Yeah. And he just shows up in Utah and just crapping all over Utah, all the whole car ride.
He's not a fan of Utah, definitely.
No, he's like, it was funny though, because he was like, that was part of the thing, it was definitely production trolling. He was like, look at this, look at these windows, what do you see? And it was like a gorgeous mountainscape of like natural beauty, and he's like, it's nothing, there's nothing here.
Oh, he's just not used to it. But I think it's the diversity that's more of an issue for him.
Right. I can see that. And I get it to an extent. But it seems like, I don't know, if you're doing – the kids are important and the kids are very much used to – like Tennyson and Nyla are all about being in Utah.
No, they really are. They were really sad about moving to L.A., like Nyla especially. It almost made her resent – Lamar for it, because it was like, you're the reason why we have to move here.
Okay, so last group,
we have our other triangle,
is Megan, Michael, and Sarah. Now this is a tricky triangle because Sarah, at no point we see her, but she's completely separate. So I gathered that Michael and Sarah were married, are still married. We know that they're actually still married.
Yes.
And then I don't know when they got together. Was he in jail? Was he out of jail? Did he go to jail while they were married? But then this last time when he was in jail, he started a relationship with this Megan, is what I gathered. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Yes. So their history is that Michael and Sarah have been together for a really long time. Because Aviana, I think, is like 5 or 6 years old. Five, somewhere
in
there.
Yeah, she seemed about five.
Mm-hmm. And so they were together... Yeah, so they were together before Michael went to jail or prison. And then when Michael was in prison, he had a cousin who reached out to Megan and said, hey, my cousin's like really sad in jail. Why don't you like be his friend? And so they met through this cousin. And so Megan started, you know, talking to Michael, and then they kind of fell in love. And so when they first started on the season, you exclusively saw Megan and Michael, and their whole storyline was Megan was a virgin and they made a big deal about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So then I think about halfway through the season, that's when you even know there's a Sarah involved. So that was kind of a crazy, like, what is happening here?
Okay.
So in comes Sarah, and then so Michael and Sarah have the kid, and so Michael is constantly using that as an excuse for why he's with Sarah. Mm. So he's saying, like, Megan was about to be on a plane to go pick up Michael when he was getting out. And she was at the airport checking in, and he calls her and says, don't come. I have to see my daughter first. So I have to check in with my baby mama, blah, 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 blah. So he was honest about that piece, but he was never honest about the fact that him and Sarah were still together. Mm-hmm. So Megan never really questioned too much. And so then right after, he starts picking a fight with Sarah so he can kind of escape them and then go meet up with Megan. So then Megan and him end up having sex, but this is after he had sex with Sarah, which in which time he got Sarah pregnant again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. Michael and Sarah actually ended up getting married while he was still in prison. So they had like a prison wedding ceremony. So by the time he was out of prison, he's married to Sarah. Mm-hmm. And then they're almost immediately get pregnant with their most recent kid, Ray. So then once everybody starts finding out, and I think they even showed a clip of Sarah confronting Megan about, you know, her pregnancy mm-hmm. and the fact that she's his wife. And so Megan at first was very much like, well, I didn't know you existed. I'm sorry. But then at the same time, I'm very much team Sarah in this. The way Megan came at her, it was just like really disrespectful. But Megan kind of thought the other way around. She was like, Sarah was really disrespectful. She came at me. I didn't know what was going on. But then at the same time, Megan, like, it deterred her for all of 2 seconds. And then she's still continuing on with Michael. Mm-hmm. So then I think where we left off is Megan and Michael kind of got in some kind of fight because Michael's friend, Rock, admitted to kissing Megan. And so Michael found out from his friend. And so Michael was like, well, I can't trust you. It's like, come
all
on,
right,
dude.
Right, right, right.
It's like, you know, kettle black, mm-hmm. you know. And so they are technically on a break. So that's where things start.
Okay. So they started
Is
on a break.
Is that all too confusing? All
right. I'll get there.
Yeah.
All right. So
okay.
Does he just like show up in Fort Worth? Like to like confront Megan? Okay.
Yeah, so before he couldn't get to Texas, so their locations are all over the place too. So Michael was in prison in Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Sarah lives in New York,
right.
But Megan lives in Texas. Mm-hmm. So Michael had to parole to his mom's house in Michigan. So he'd been living in Michigan and Sarah had been like driving out to Michigan. So they were close-ish enough where they could see each other kind of frequently. Mm-hmm. But Michael hasn't been down to Texas at all because he's what he refers to on tether. He basically has an ankle monitor.
Right.
So he can't leave certain areas. And so he has to get like a travel pass. And so he hasn't been down to Texas to see Megan yet. So this is his first time. Because he says, and he even says in this episode, he's off tether.
I'm off tether. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So he just shows up at Meg's and is like, I don't know, makes a really lame pitch that is really effective, I guess. I don't know. Like, I
do not get why these women are fighting over him.
This dude is no prize at all. Like, he's not, like, charming. He's not particularly attractive. He's just is.
No. Nope.
Like,
nope,
hey, he just shows up and is like, hey, I just thought, like, hey, yo, what's up? And they're like, Oh, I forgive you.
Hey, you looking good, girl.
Yeah.
You looking good. Why are you looking so fine? It's like, oh my gosh, seriously, that's all it takes?
Yeah. It's just like, how you doing?
Women scare me sometimes.
I know.
Yeah. How you do it. It's like, why does that work? Are you that starved for affection? I mean, she can't possibly have daddy issues because look at Megan's dad. He's like solid. He loves her. He's actively involved in her life. Like, it makes no sense.
And he's not even like overbearing. Okay. We'll get to her dad later because I liked her dad a lot. So, okay. So then they get to the thing and we kind of flip back to Sarah, who's trying to call Michael, and he just won't answer the phone. Like, he will not answer her. He won't answer the kids. Yeah. He's just, since he's been off tether, he just is completely ignoring her and all the kids and everybody. Just just off of it. And so, you know, we get to see, you know, her pretending to be him. Kind of a sad, like, scene with the kids.
It's so sad. But she's such a good mom. And that was actually a really good idea for her to pretend, because it sounded like Aviana, you know, got to say what she wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for young children to express themselves. And for her to pretend, it gives Sarah a good idea of what the state of mind Aviana is
in. And you know what I really liked is even though her dad Michael is a piece of shit, like, she doesn't say your dad's a piece of shit. Like, she's just like, oh, wouldn't you like to talk to dad? And oh, I guess he's busy right now. And like, which is really cool. I mean, the kid will find out their dad's a piece of shit, but they don't need to hear it from you.
Right. And I thought it was nice that it was actually kind of funny. She talked to Aviana like Michael would, because Michael excessively calls Aviana pretty girl.
Yeah. Which,
it's like almost to the point of annoyance.
That's annoying from the get. Like, no, I couldn't say pretty girl. Like,
yeah. You never even have to see them interact and you got that, yeah. Right? You're like, oh, he must call her pretty girl a lot.
Right. I just, I'm automatically against that. Like, anytime if I see a dad interacting with a daughter and he's pretty girl, like, don't.
Yeah. Well, I think that kind of goes back to like the teaching thing. It's like, you don't want kids to really focus too much on their looks.
Yeah.
And so you want to focus on something that's, I don't know, more in their control.
Exactly. And society, like, the idea that, you know, women's worth is their looks, they'll get that idea. You don't have to reinforce it'll come, like, whether you want it to or not. And, and so, like, but it should, again, that's another thing that shouldn't come from you. Right. But, yeah, you're smart. Yeah. You're creative. Agreed. You're, all these things. You work hard. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. But then they get my, actually, I don't know which scene I liked better. I don't know if I liked the friend, Meg's friend, better, or if I like Meg's dad better.
I don't even understand how Megan has these like solid men in her life and she's still a wreck.
Right.
Okay. Let me also point out another random little thing about Megan just being a wreck. It's like she's kind of going through some weird midlife crisis or something. So when we start off seeing her, she actually had a legitimate job. Like, I can't remember exactly. She was like something where she worked with people. She was either a teaching assistant or she was a nursing assistant, something where she worked with people and had a professional job. Mm-hmm. Did you see her profession now?
No, I did not catch that. What did it say?
She is now trying to be a singer, which is just like, oh my God.
It does sound midlife crisis-ish. You know? Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's way too young to have a midlife crisis.
She definitely wants different things. Yeah. Yeah, right? She does. She seems like she's, having some kind of weird mental breakdown or something.
Right. So.
Yeah. But she does have some pretty strong men in her lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this friend, I couldn't catch his friend's name.
B.
I just.
Like literally the letter B.
Like, just call me B. I could be like, no, we're not even doing my first name. If I want to be on your show, it's just B. Like, isn't that right, Miss H?
Oh, people have, but you know what? People actually have letters for their names. I actually read an article about some psychologist who named her daughter E, and it was literally just the letter E.
Interesting.
And they said that because when she was old enough, they wanted her to be able to decide what kind of name she wanted. And it could be, you know, a masculine name, a feminine name, like whatever she wanted. Okay. And it would start with the letter E. And then I actually personally know a guy and his name is literally the letter H. When I first met him, I thought he was shitting me and I asked to see his license. I was like, that's not a real name. And I said that to him. I was like, that's not a real name. I'm going to need to see your license. And he showed it to me. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. That is your
interesting
real name.
See, I've known a lot. Known a lot of people. I've known a lot of people that, you know, like their name would be like, you know, like a D'Angelo or something, and they were like, everybody called him D.
Yeah.
Like, and so if you ask him what's my name, he'd say I'm D. Like, you know, like I've known people like that, but I don't think I've ever known. I've never run across like H.
Right. So interesting, unique, but it is possible. So this guy's name could be literally the letter B.
Okay.
And I always watch things with captions, and so in the captions they spelled it just with the letter B,
not B E E or B E A.
No, not like Beatrice. Nope, none of that. It's just the letter B. Yeah.
So, okay. But I like the friend because, well, first of all, they get there and they're like, what would you like to drink? And both of them are like, she's like, I want a shot of whiskey. And Michael's like, I want a shot of Patron. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And B is just like looking on like, oh God, shit's about to go
down. We're getting started right away, huh? Okay. Is that how it's going?
B's like, okay, this is how it's going. Sure.
But, I mean, he doesn't even come too hard. Like, he comes with the right stuff. Like, I don't trust you. I don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, who are you and why did, you know, my girl, like, not my girl, but my friend completely change her life because you showed up? Like, this is, we are not on the right foot here. And, like, I'm letting you know that right now. And it's one of those things that, of course, the person who's on the other side of that, Michael's like, I just don't think they're being fair. I don't understand why they wouldn't trust me. It's like, I don't know, maybe because you're just off tether. Like, why would you?
Yeah, because you are literally a criminal and a liar and a cheater.
And,
oh, you don't understand why this person doesn't trust you?
Right.
All right.
I didn't give him no reason not to trust me. Like, as if, like, the only people who are not allowed to trust you are the ones you actually robbed and the ones you actually lied to. Everybody else has to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Well, he even justifies and says that he only needs to prove himself to Megan. It's like, do you?
Yeah.
Because I think this goes back to, and we've talked about this before in our other podcasts, it's really difficult cheating because someone can only ever prove you wrong. No one can ever prove you right.
Right.
Because proving wrong is basically you just messing up. But proving right is just like, well, there is no timeline for mm-hmm. that. It's like, you just kind of have to continue being good. And it's much easier to prove you wrong by finding that counterexample other than proving every day you are not cheating.
Right. For eternity. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Forever. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's an uphill battle for sure.
All right. So
but then he says that can only move forward.
Yeah. Got to move forward. Don't look back. Well, I mean, obviously, if your past is what it is, then you got to focus on the forward. But then Then we get to another scene where we have another strong male presence in Meg's life that she is completely ignoring.
Yep.
And that's her father.
Yep. B says Megan's dad is big and will whoop your ass.
That's a big dude.
So.
That was a big dude.
Yes. And looking at Michael is a skinny little
He's a skinny
thing.
Dude. Yeah, he's not a big dude.
Like, he should fear for his life with Megan's dad.
Right. But he was very calm. He wasn't disrespectful. He was forceful.
Yeah.
I mean, he made himself heard, but he wasn't like, he wasn't crazy. He wasn't, you know, avoiding the confrontation because he asked the direct questions like, when is your divorce final? How many kids do you have?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And he's something I really liked is, I don't know, my favorite thing he said is, you know, he said, what's done in the dark will come to the light. He's like, whatever it is, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
We're going to find it out. But, and then I really like the way he...
When this television show airs.
Right. I really like the way he didn't... he expressed his disapproval. Like, he didn't, like, cut her out of mm-hmm. the life. I'm not going to talk to you until this is done. We're there. He was just like, I don't think you should do this. I'm making it very clear that I think this is a mistake. And I don't think you should be dating him. And very forceful, very clear.
And he says it in front of Michael, like, he has no fear.
Right.
I don't think you should be dating Mike.
Right.
He says it
right in front of him. I'd like, not even looking at him. Like,
I would give out some bullets for my daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
like basically threatening him. And he's in Texas, so you should take that threat legit.
Legit, right, right. I always get a little, like, queasy. Yeah. I hate the ones who are, like, you know, like, the pictures of guys with guns. And like, oh, don't date my daughter with, like, holding guns, like, next to kids. I'm like, I hate that. They do it for, like, high school kids.
This is justified in this.
This one's a little bit different. Because, I just don't like the idea of, I really hate the idea that the father has, like, ownership of the daughter. And, like, that grosses me out.
Sure. But I think in this case, he's really trying to defend his daughter.
Yeah, he was like, I will protect her. It's her decision, but I'm going to protect her.
You are an evil.
Right. And what's funny, because this bothered me the most, is they asked her, you know, mm-hmm. we talk about this 90 Day Fiancé, how people cannot articulate good reasons that they love the person that they're with.
Yeah.
And they ask her, like, what is it you love about him? I think the dad does. And she says something like, well, I love the way he respects his children. And this is, you know, maybe a little bit of production trolling, but this is like the scene after we find out he hasn't talked to his children in weeks.
I know.
He does not respect his children at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's definitely delusional because she says she's proud of Mike.
What's like, there to be proud of?
Because he did what?
Yeah.
I know, because he got out of prison.
Like, that's just time. Like, literally just time.
Yeah, that's just living. So you didn't die in the last, whenever your prison sentence is. Okay. You're proud that this person didn't die. Okay. Okay. Great.
Very nice.
All right. Oh, so then we end with a scene with Sarah and her best friend, Emmy, who is a superstar. Everybody loves Emmy. Emmy has been trying to be the voice of reason in Sarah's life from day one.
Uh-huh.
And granted, like, Sarah has moments where she seems like she gets it, and then she has weak moments, too, you know?
Yeah, that seems to be a common theme, is, like, the weakness. And when the bad people show up, the manipulators show up, they know how to prey on the weakness. And like, but when they're not there. So yeah. I can see everybody, they're not strong. And they just know exactly where to poke to break that wall down. And they do.
Right.
But it seems Emmy's pretty happy, because at this point, Sarah is totally Team Emmy and seems very, very done with Michael.
Yeah. Well, Emmy has been there. Like, she physically was there for arguments between Sarah and Michael. Uh-huh. So, I mean, like, she's been telling her, you know, like, this guy is no good. And once she found out that they were married, because Sarah was even keeping it a secret from most people that they were married, Emmy was like, what is wrong with you? Like, she is not afraid to tell her, get away from this guy. He's the worst.
But because, and this is just how dumb Michael is, Sarah still pays his phone bills. And
right.
has control of his bank accounts.
Yeah.
That's probably something you wouldn't want your potential ex-wife to still be paying your phone bill, because when they do, they get access to all of your phone records and all of your bank statements.
Oh, gosh.
And it turns out Michael has been texting women all over the country, from like here, there, and everywhere. And they have been cash-apping him money.
Yep, up to $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
I was like, who is sending money?
Oh, I assumed it was $1,200 between all the women in 1 month. It's not like one woman sent him $1,200, right?
Yeah. But okay, but I don't even care if you're sending someone $100 a month. Like, you're not seeing this person.
Yeah.
You know? I think he intentionally picks people out of state so he doesn't have to give a reason why he can't spend a lot of time with them.
Right, but just weird. I mean, who, how, yeah. What is this dude doing? Because he's not doing it to the camera. Like, we are not seeing how he's appealing at all to the camera.
Okay, appealing. But I was going to say, something that you may have missed at the very, very, very beginning, you see Michael on his way to see Megan, and he gets a FaceTime call or a phone call. I couldn't really tell because they didn't show from that angle. Uh-huh. But he got on with a woman who was saying something about taking her kids to the park. It was very clearly not Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Production asked him about it, and he said something like, oh, it's just a female who called at the wrong time, at a bad time or something like that. Implying that this is one of the girls, one of the Megan Marias or Jessica that he's been messaging.
Weird. What could he possibly be saying on these messages, on these phone calls, to be getting this?
I have no
idea. It's just mind-boggling.
You know, it's very weird to me, but we definitely live in a time where people freely give out money, and it makes no sense to me. Like, look at the cameos. Look at the GoFundMes. It's like, basically, people are just giving other people money for no apparent reason.
Right.
And to me, it's like, how are we in a financial place, like, as a country, where you can just give random strangers, like, $100 just because they tell you a sad story? Like, it makes no sense to me.
And I have a sad story. Some of the GoFundMes are literally jokes that will raise hundreds of thousands of dollars because people like that joke and throw money at it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's so bizarre to me. I don't understand, like, what our society is kind of thinking. Like, I don't understand people who just, like, send $50, $100 to random strangers. It's like, what are you getting out of that?
Mm-hmm. I don't know either.
I'm just confused.
I don't know either. But we're going to see, because I'm curious to see what happens with Michael next time. Because one, Megan doesn't know about all these other women, right?
No.
Because she trusts Mike. She thinks he's a good dude.
Yes.
And two, Sarah's about to cancel the phone. So he's going to.
Yes. I'm like, yes, I'm here for this.
Off his phone. That's what I'm looking for.
Because you know Michael has no idea who's anybody's number.
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, I guess he can save the numbers on the phone, but he just won't have a connection to anything.
Yeah, but then you'd have to, could you go into your contacts if you got a new phone? You still have a SIM card. I don't know. I don't know where your contacts are stored.
Yeah, I think it's different nowadays. Remember it used to be where you would have to pay like $10 to your cell phone provider for them to like transfer your numbers from one phone to another. Right. It used to be all crazy
now
like that.
Now I think it's on iCloud.
I think we're past that in terms of technology.
All your contacts are on iCloud. And like as soon as you get a new iPhone, it's like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
So that's not any fun.
Right.
I want less fun. Maybe she can cancel his iCloud account too. Let's get that done. However it is, the most important thing isn't to cancel the phone. It's to delete his contacts. That's what you want to do. Because I don't know anybody's phone number. I don't know anybody's phone number anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my sister's phone number, and that's about it. I don't even know my parents' number because they moved.
I know my parents' landline.
After I was graduated from college.
I don't know my mom's. I couldn't tell you my mom's cell phone number off the top of my head.
I think I might be able to recreate my dad's cell phone number, but... Yeah, I couldn't tell you my parents' landline because they got a new landline when they moved.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't even know their landline because that's the house I grew up in. So that one I know. Other than that, nope.
Unfortunately, my sister never answers her phone like to strange numbers. So it's almost like it doesn't matter that I have her phone number memorized, because if I called from a random number, like, help, it's an emergency, she wouldn't even pick up.
You could leave a voicemail.
Oh, she wouldn't listen to the voicemail.
I usually, if I see a voicemail.
Unless I texted her.
Yeah, you have like, just from the random number, text her, our mom's middle name is. It's me, for real. Okay, so that's all the couples, right? And if you haven't listened to our other podcast, being teachers, we like to always end our podcast with our students of the week. Some class dunces, and to leave off with a life lesson. All right. So do you have a student of the week right now yet?
Yes, I do. I have Sarah as student of the week because she did multiple things that I'm like feeling like kind of going back to some stuff, comparing and contrasting. She has definitely come far from her journey in the second season, but even regardless of, you know, not knowing where she came from, she did a lot of great things in these first two episodes. She dealt with Aviana's being upset about Michael not talking to her or not being in communication. She's getting ready to manipulate the manipulator and shut things down. She's ready to move on and just, you know, be done with this. So good for you, Sarah.
All right, well,
what about your student
mine,
of the week?
Obviously, based on what I said during the episode, is Tennyson, because I just like Tennyson a lot. I liked his accurate, I don't know, he just seems so well put together for somebody whose family is so chaotic. And I applaud that.
Okay, what about your class dunce?
Michael. He's lying to how many women now? How many people is he lying to right now? And like, still playing the victim, I can't even handle it. Like at some point, I just want the person to be like, yep, you caught me. I was being a shithead. I'm a shithead. I'm still going to be one later. I'm going to find somebody else now. Like, all right, who was your class dunce?
I had Shane.
Okay.
I mean, Shane, I think he definitely seemed more mature, you know, last season. And then it's just like his lack of education and intelligence is really coming out here, and it's like, Shane, you just need to be more mature. Let's not open our mouths and say dumb things to the doctor. Let's not get drunk and not help the movers. Let's not be violent and throw crap. Like, Shane just needs to, I don't know, mature, grow up a little.
All right. So life lessons. Do you have a life lesson?
I do. Okay. So my life lesson, the source of this is from Marcelino and Brittany, but more specifically Marcelino. Sometimes you just need to suck it up and do what you need to do for work. There are going to be parts of a job, and we've talked about this like on our other podcast, there are going to be parts of a job that suck. And at the end of the day, it's a job, and your family is counting and needs you to step it up. And so we can't be super picky. In an ideal world, everybody would get paid large sums of money for things that they're passionate about, but that's just not the reality. And so we need to start making smart decisions that, especially when you have dependents, like he's gonna have what, four dependents, three kids and a wife. Yeah. So he's just gotta suck it up and learn some Microsoft Office.
All right, so
okay, what about your lesson of the week?
My lesson is partially from them, but it's just a bunch of them. Like, everybody, stop getting pregnant. Like, that's not a solution to so many problems. Why is everybody immediately pregnant all the time? Just stop.
Yeah.
Like,
I would say in Brittany Marcelino's defense, at least they tried for the second time to prevent against that. But the first time, yes.
Yeah. Well, it really especially came up with Shane, who is like going out of it. No, we're going to go out of our way to get pregnant. It's like, why? Dude, why? This is not the time or the place or the situation to bring the, to bring a baby into. And like, it's one thing for oops. I mean, there's just an abnormal amount of oopses. But to even to be doing it on purpose in this kind of situation is just, there's other ways to develop your relationship that isn't, we have to have a baby now.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. A dog, maybe? They always say dogs are like the training wheels, even though I don't think dogs are anything like kids.
No, but if you can't handle a dog, you can't handle a kid. Like, a dog is the bare minimum that you could possibly, if you're like, I don't want to go home and let the dog out.
I think a dog is way easier.
Oh, yeah, it is. But I'm saying, what I'm saying
is, a dog is way easier.
If the dog is cramping your lifestyle too much, then a kid is out of the question. Like, cause some people just like can't even handle, like, what do you mean I can't just take a week trip and not consider what the dog is going to do? Who's going to watch the dog and let the dog out? I just want to go. Like, yeah, okay, then kids are not for you.
All right. So we are going to cover love after, or I guess life after lockup episodes. It's weird. Okay, my DVR has picked up these episode numbers. Is very weird. But we basically covered the first two episodes right now of Life After Lockup. And so the next episode we have, we'll cover episodes 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And so by then we'll be all caught up. And so then we'll be releasing a week after every new episode, which are on Fridays.
Right, right. So it'll be sometime early in the week. We haven't quite decided just exactly when yet. But once we do, it will be regular.
Yes, it will.
Okay.
Because we're teachers and we like
schedules. We like schedules. I really do like schedules. Schedules are great.
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see everybody then.
All right. So until then. Okay.
Bye.